Yeah, no, I can definitely hear you. Well, I'd love to start out with the pacing of the dialogue is so crisp and it's so witty. How was there rehearsal? Was there time with these actors? Because I just feel like the pacing of this film was remarkable.
Oh, thanks, Kenny. There was no rehearsal. I met with them once for a read-through. I was counting on the fact that everybody in this cast has big theatrical backgrounds. So when they read a lot of material and monologues, you know, it doesn't scare them, and they adapt quickly. So the one time I met the two of them, Jake and Tom, together. It was only once. Austin Pendleton was there. He was hearing it for the first time, and that was the only time we met prior to going to the set.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, let's talk a bit about that cast. Obviously, you have a great connection with Austin, but tell me what about not only finding these two great leads, but, I mean, I love the sequence with the ladies, the newspaper. There's just so many talented folks in this. Tell me a bit about getting this wonderful cast.
Well, first of all, this, you know, Gaddy, this is a lot of this is true. So that newspaper scene was actually where the editor of the paper lives, and it's a paper I used to work on when I moved in here. So, you know, when you have faces in front of you, Gaddy, and you write and you see faces as you're writing, it helps. So then I matched those faces. I saw a real people to these faces, and they're pretty close. And that's how that came about.
Well, speaking of that, can I ask about the locations and the homes and just where you shot all this? Because I think there's a uniqueness to every single location, whether it's a dining sequence or there's the beautiful bird watching sequence. Tell me a bit about finding the beautiful locations and where this all is.
Well, it's a really unique area that I live in. So and you can Google it. It's called Sneeden's Landing, and it's 10 miles above the Hudson above Manhattan on the Hudson River. And it's become, in the last few years, a real haven for movie stars and people that are hiding out here. And I'm here 10 years. So I got to know everybody, and then I went down to their houses, and I said, listen, I want to shoot them. and nobody said no. And that's how it happened.
I love the word choice, hiding out. There is such a beautiful mystery feel to this movie and what is going on, where are we going with these two guys. How much fun was it writing suspense like this? I mean, I feel like you were adding just little tidbits of knowledge so we could creep along, but you were, I think, having fun writing this.
Well, I was, because this person is, you know, still lives in the town. I haven't spoke to him in years. I occasionally see him running, and he gives me a big gum, high five. I think he knows what I did because it was a big film crew that came right down the street. So it becomes a little awkward. Other than that, but it's funny. So that sequence with the opening with the Vespa, and he's cutting him off on the as he's driving his that truck down the, and he, you know that scene I'm talking about where he's the Vespa's cutting on and off, and he's cutting Tom off.
Yeah, and he can't see him because of the helmet.
Yeah, do you know that I felt I was short filmically, and literally it was the next day I went out to shop, and it was this kid, the same kid, on this motorcycle that told that he gave me the 5 minutes I was shot. Honest to God, true.
Well, it's gonna feel serendipitous then to know that you're writing something where scenes come from reality rather than the other way around. That's gotta
reality
be
reality is very, reality is very hard to top. It's very hard to top.
So I've got to ask then, one of the best scenes obviously in the movie is where we meet you, basically, the writer and the director. How much fun was it casting two sides of your world? Basically, I don't want to give away anything, but if most you can let me know what you were going with your choice and who would play the director, per se, and who would play the writer in that wonderful scene.
I thought it was important. Well, in that scene, that was, you have two actors that there's a 70-year spread between the two of them, between M.M. Walsh and Doug Plout. 70 years difference. And they're at this long table, and they never went over to each other, and they stayed at this long table. So I thought, if you divide it down with somebody younger and somebody older, it'll encompass everybody. So that's how I approached that, rather than going with an Italian writer or something like that. I wanted to do some completely opposite. Does that make sense to you?
No, definitely, and I think it works. I'm curious, when did you know this story, this idea was done? Like, when did you have your final close to what we see in the film? I'm curious when you realized, I've got my complete story to tell here.
I can tell you exactly. It's the opening scene is verbatim, Daddy.
Oh, wow, that's so
when
incredible.
When that opening scene happened, that was it. Because up till then, it was a series of episodes and interesting things with no rhyme or reason. But when that happened, that was my end.
Mm. Since this translates obviously so well to, I think, the theater, is there hopes of this being something that can be multi-transitional as far as, the life of this project or of these characters?
I never thought of it that way. It's just the way they talk, and I think I brought a lot of really interesting film techniques to it. So it's not like my dinner with Andre or where we're static, So I hope I kept it going visually. So it's just a big impact. But I never thought about playwright when I was writing it. But if that happens, it's fine. But I think it lives and breathes as a film first.
Well, on that level, then, I love that you bring in the Gaslight film as well and other forms, and you go to black and white even. Can you talk about that visual style and making those choices?
That particular sequence?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was... I had to... It reminds me of, when he sees the different shelves, that he had the wrong shelf. How can I get across to an audience visually what this mental disorder is? So I did it with the library by breaking things down to violent and nonviolent. I did it with the gaslight to show a specific example of what it is rather than telling you what it is. So that's how really that came about. It's me trying to get across a broad concept in an entertaining and specific manner.
As far as visual choices like red pants or the type of cigarettes that Thomas's character smokes, were those things that were brought in from your real life, or did the actors bring them, or are there things that that you came up with from the very beginning?
The red pants was pre-existing. Everything else were variations of something I had or was thinking about. But the red pants were always in my head because this didn't realize.
Very cool. As far as the writing bug, does this push you to write more? Did you take time after this script was done? How are you affected by the writing process?
And how am I affected by the writing process in terms of what I did afterwards? Or
yeah, has it pushed you writing in different directions now, or how has it impacted you?
I have another piece all ready to go. So This is, you know, it's a long process. The first draft was done at the very end of 2015, and so we started in 2016, and to get the proper cast and the crew and who's available when and everything, it shot in 2017, and it took about a year to edit. It's a long process because it's so specific and so stylized that it's literally a half a frame off can make a difference. So I hope that answers your question.
No, it definitely does. I'm kind of curious as far as casting then, do you have people in mind, or is it a little too early for that project?
On my next thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't really know yet. I don't know yet. Let's see what happens with this. That'll put me in another direction.
As far as getting to bring back Austin, I mean, obviously you know him for many years now, but being able to throw him out into the world again with your writing, how much fun is it to team up with the people that you know well and that you're good friends with?
Oh, he's good. Well, I had seen him a long time, and he showed up, and he started talking to me just like I saw him the week before, which is like what friends do. And because there's a driving sequence, he couldn't drive 20 years ago, and he still can't drive. So, you know, that's why I had to have him towed, because he shows me he's got a driver's license. That's for blood identification ID, Daddy. You know, he doesn't, believe me, the man doesn't drive. So, you know, I remembered him was very easy to talk to, because I'll give you a very specific example you'll find funny. In that car sequence, that when they're driving and he's tailgating him, he was a little slow. And I walked up to him. I said, "Austin, can you just pick up the pace a little, and it'll work better." He said, "Sure." Daddy, he did the same thing, the exact same way. He said, "How was it?" I said, "Perfect." Perfect. Because that's the way you talk.
As far as the advent and changes in film over the decades, was it fun shooting now compared to, you know, shooting Austin years ago? I mean, camera-wise, like, what were you able to use? I mean, I feel like you guys had a lot of different setups. It looks like a lot of different angles, a lot of different shot choices in this. It went a little bit further than just what most people would do, I think.
Yeah, well, I storyboard everything. I even show the boards in the film and in the end. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in that. This is also my first digital film. I've always shot in 35, so this was it's a lot easier in a lot of ways. I sort of missed that look, so I tried to give it a grain effect. So in the final project here, I think I just don't like it looking like it's a big video. So I miss that part of it. I miss the grain. But other than that, it's certainly faster. We shot this in 18 days and 3 6-day weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, now again, we were all, because of the scenes landing here, everything was within a mile of where we needed. So we were able to get in and out of places quickly.
Is it different walking around your neighborhood today now that you've made this movie than before making this movie?
You know, more people wave to me. you know, so it's so and I wave back. But it's a very unusual area, so I pretty much keep to myself. You know, but that was exciting, that 3 weeks here. There's no question. It was the most excitement they've seen here in a long time.
I would love to personally know what TV shows or books do you read, or what keeps you going in the art world? Are you reading theater productions? Do you go see theater productions? Like, what do you do in your free time?
I have a theater downstairs, so I look at a lot of foreign, a lot of obscure films, mostly foreign, because I just, to see every country in foreign films has a different perspective, and it's so obvious when you see the picture, from the angles to the dialogue, that it always reflects the country that you're watching. So, yeah, that's what I do, and I get very inspired. Very inspired. A lot of times the pictures don't even make it here because they don't transcend for some reason. And but that's what I like. I like to see things that not a lot of people see.
Wow. Is there any recent ones that have caught your eye? I'd love to know some that you like.
You know, I'm just trying to think of what I just saw. Boy, if I knew you were going to ask me this question, I would have had it because I see so many pictures and I write them down. I saw a picture called The Faithful Man last night, which no one ever heard of. It's a French picture with Louis Garrel, who wrote and directed it. I thought it was wonderful. You know, so you know, sort of things like it's a comedy drama. It's a different perspective on relationships. Just different from an American perspective, so I hope I mixed it up with the Mimic, where it's, you know, I think it definitely has a European look to it because of the way the shots are constructed, but you know, it has an American sensibility.
Very cool. Well, I've definitely wrote it down, so now I know. One of my favorite bits in the movie that involves the mimicry back and forth between the kid and the narrator, or you know, Thomas, your character. I'm curious the pronoun naming level game. He, she, where do some of these things come up? Were these real? Were all of these real conversations, or
the restaurant? The first scene, like I said, was verbatim. The newspaper scene was. Some dialogue I had heard with sitting with these old ladies for 5 years. I mean, the things they say are just astounding, and I always remember them. The dinner conversation we're talking about now was a compilation of things that took place over a longer period of time, but I remember specifically that I turned around and people were staring at us as this was happening. So now I think people will be, since I have to go to Cinequest this week, and now people will be staring at me. So I don't see a difference between, like, reality and fantasy. Because, you know, if it's intriguing, you're going to watch.
Mm.
So that's, you know, follow what I'm saying?
Well, I definitely want to end it with Thomas. Thank you for making this unique film. I don't think it's something that a lot of people get to see, this wealth of acting going on, but the writing behind it. And I'll never be able to see someone's wine order and not be able to judge them now. So I love you for that. And Thomas, you have a wonderful day. Thank you for the chat.
Oh, no, thank you, Daddy. Thanks for watching.
Bye, guys.